This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Yesterday, a legal decision in the city of Louisville. It's not Louisville, it's Louisville. That's how they say it. Louisville, Kentucky, made national headlines. The young woman's name, who we keep hearing, has made national headlines since March. As we sit here in mid to late September. Her name is Breonna Taylor. And the story had to do with a legal matter regarding her shooting and killing this past March. And the reason why it has made national news, there are two reasons. White police officers shot their guns and a black person was killed. And celebrities have weighed in with their opinion. Those are the two reasons why what happened yesterday made national news here in the United States and made international news all over the globe. The problem is the full story has not gotten out there when it comes to this shooting and when it comes to the celebrities who have weighed in with their opinion on this case. What happened in the Breonna Taylor case is that Louisville, Kentucky police officers had a warrant to go arrest two people. There was a warrant to arrest these two people because they were dealing drugs out of their apartment. And there were two names on the warrant. There was one name of a man and one name of a woman. The two names on a warrant in Louisville, Kentucky, last March, to go be arrested. The police had a warrant to go arrest two people for dealing drugs. So when the police showed up late at night with their warrant, it was a no-knock warrant, meaning they didn't have to knock on the door to go arrest the people. They could have just gone into the apartment that was on the address on the warrant with the two names, a male name, a female name. No-knock warrant. So when they were going through the door, when they were knocking down the door, kicking in the door, however you want to say it, the male name who was on the warrant, He had a gun and he started shooting at the police officers. He actually shot one of the police officers. Bullets went into the police officer. So what are the police officers, anything you know about warrants? What would the police officer, plural or singular, what would they do if they started getting shot at and they were getting shot? Bullets were hitting them. What would they do?
They would have to shoot back.
You would think, no, you would know that they would immediately return fire. That's what happened in this case. And unfortunately, the young woman who was in that apartment, who did not have a gun on her, who was actually sleeping next to the man who opened fire on police officers, she got shot and killed. Her name, Breonna Taylor. And all I've heard from people like LeBron James, with their millions and millions and millions of social media followers, all I've heard, it's a sad story when, you know, a young unarmed girl like Breonna Taylor gets shot and killed by white police officers. That's all we heard from LeBron James and celebrities and the media. That's all we heard. A young woman named Breonna Taylor was shot and killed. A young black woman named Breonna Taylor was shot and killed by white police officers. She's unarmed. But I just told you what happened. But you didn't hear that from LeBron James. You didn't hear that from Stevie Wonder, from Colin Kaepernick, from the media in America. No. You didn't hear that. You didn't hear the facts that I told you. And yes, it's sad that a young unarmed woman, who I believe was a first responder, worked in that line of work, Breonna Taylor, lost her life. It's just, and last night, there were, the media called them protests. There were some riots, and two Louisville, Kentucky police officers were shot. They're going to recover. There were also at least 46 people arrested during the protests, the riots against the ruling, and the Breonna Taylor death, killing. Do you even know her boyfriend's name?
No, doesn't.
Have you the drug dealing boyfriend who she decided to live with and sleep next to every night and do sex with?
No, I couldn't tell you his name offhand.
Did you even know his name? Of course you don't know his name.
But that's the sad part about it, though. Like, she was unarmed. It's the boyfriend had fired. And I'll be honest, I'm not a fan of the no-knock warrant. Because I can understand if you're dealing drugs out of your apartment and all of a sudden somebody kicks in your door and you don't know who they are.
He's going to start shooting. That's what most drug dealers would do.
Right. So that's why I'm not a fan of the no-knock warrant. He probably didn't know that that was the police he was shooting at. He probably thought it was a rival drug gang cartel trying to come in and steal his stash or whatever. So that's why the no-knock warrants, I can't say I'm a fan of those.
His name is Kenneth Walker.
Now he has
admitted that he's a drug dealer, mm-hmm. although he has said that Breonna Taylor didn't have anything to do with the drug dealer, but her name was on the warrant, and from other things I've read, I think she might have handled the money, the books in the drug dealing operation. I don't. That's what I have read. But you would never get that from the media reports, the news reports, Colin Kaepernick, LeBron James, Stevie Wonder, and other celebrities. You would think that here we are again in America, white cops are hunting down black people to shoot them and kill them. They're on the hunt.
All right. If you were a police officer, right, and you know you're about to go into an apartment of a known drug dealer, but you know you're not going to announce who you are, you're just going to knock down a door, and like you said, it's a no-knock warrant. The cops have to expect something like that to happen. If they know they're going in and they know they're not going to announce who they are, they know that they're going to catch whoever they are in there, you know, are vulnerable, they're going to be confused, they're not going to know what's going on. You have to kind of expect that. If you don't knock and say, hey, it's the police, everybody, stop. If you're just kicking in the door and going in, you have to expect some sort of a backlash. I'm quite sure the cops were prepared for that sort of an incident, logically speaking. If you go to any room unannounced, you're going to catch somebody off guard, and they're going to panic and get paranoid and like, whoa, what's going on here?
And there were three Louisville police officers whose names keep coming up because there were three Louisville police officers who fired their guns
right
when they were serving this warrant. One of them was fired immediately after this happened, Officer Hankinson, because he fired 10 shots, didn't hit anybody in the apartment where the warrant was being served, but because it was an apartment complex, some of his 10 bullets went through other apartments.
Oh.
And he was shot because you can't be shooting into other apartments when you have a warrant to go into one apartment and arrest two people. So Hankinson was fired right after it happened back in March. And yesterday, he was the one who was charged for wrongdoing, for his bullets going into other apartments. People were upset about that.
Yeah,
because
that's understandable.
The people that were upset about Breonna Taylor Coleman, they were upset that he was the only cop charged and that his bullets didn't hit Breonna Taylor or the drug dealing boyfriend. It's like, wait a minute, how does he get charged and none of his bullets actually hit the dead girl?
Reckless endangerment. I mean, well, you're shooting bullets,
and that's why he got bullets, charged. But the other two who were not fired right after this happened, Officers Cosgrove and Mattingly, not charged with anything yesterday. So you could text us if you want, but that's what's making all kinds of national news. And again, there's celebrities and people getting involved. And I'll tell you, you would think if you just watched the news, the mainstream media in this country, you would think in the last several years that we have a problem in this country with white police officers on the hunt looking to shoot and kill mostly black males, young black males. But in this case, her name is Breonna Taylor. But I just gave you all the facts that we know that you have not heard from the news and the mainstream media, much of it here in this country. If you'd like to text us, and tell me I'm wrong. Tell me we have a problem in this country with white police officers hunting down black people and shooting them and killing them. I know if George Floyd, that was awful. And it was awful that Breonna Taylor got killed. And it was awful that George Floyd got killed. And it was awful that Jacob Blake got killed.
But he got shot. He's still alive, right? He's just paralyzed, Jacob Blake.
Yeah. But if all of these people listened to the police officer and Breonna Taylor's boyfriend, because she was sleeping, but Breonna Taylor's drug dealing boyfriend, who there was a warrant out to arrest her and him, you would think in this country, if all you did was watch the news, is that we have an issue with white police officers hunting down black people who did absolutely nothing wrong in killing them. It's just not the case. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. As all the bars in Jefferson Parish opened up yesterday. Yes, Jefferson Parish decided to open up all the bars. We're still not there yet in the neighboring parish here in Orleans Parish in the city of New Orleans. From what I understand, we're about 7 or 8 days away from that happening. Because in 7 or 8 days, that's next Thursday, next Friday, that'll be about 2 weeks since all the children were able to go back into the classrooms here in Orleans Parish. And our mayor, or dictator, whatever you want to call her, our tax cheat of a mayor, LaTaxta Cantrell, who owes the federal government, the IRS, over $100,000 because she's only paid her federal income taxes once in the last decade, and that was the year she ran for mayor. She knew she had to. She, LaTaxta Cantrell, wants 2 weeks to have gone by to check the numbers when it comes to coronavirus cases. She needs 2 weeks after the school children have gone back to the classroom here in New Orleans. She wants to see those numbers. And 2 weeks will be 2 weeks from today, tomorrow, 7 or 8 days from now. And then if she sees the numbers, she sees the numbers that she wants to see, she will move from phase two to phase three in reopening the economy here in New Orleans, even though every other one of the 64 parishes, except for us, have gone into phase three. They've already moved from phase two to phase three in reopening a couple of weeks ago. But she wants to see the numbers for herself to make sure that everything's lining up the way that she wants. That's according to her. That's what we understand. But because of that, we're still 7 or 8 days away from moving the economy when it comes to reopening from phase two to phase three. And as she has been on record as saying, we're in phase two. Because we're in phase two. We're in phase two. Every one of the other parishes, every one of the 63 other parishes out of the 64 parishes here in New Orleans, or here in the state of Louisiana, every one of the other 63 parishes are in phase three. Yesterday, Jefferson Parish decided that their council, the Jefferson Parish Council, said, let's go. We're advancing to phase three when it comes to the bars reopening. And so the bars yesterday were all able to reopen in Jefferson Parish, not here in New Orleans. Many of the bars remain closed, although some of the bars in Orleans Parish, here in the city of New Orleans, some of the bars, the bars that serve food have been able to reopen in New Orleans, just not the actual bar. You can't sit at the bar. You could sit at a table in a bar that serves food. And that's what they were doing the other night for the Saints game at a bar / restaurant that I really, really enjoy every time I go in there, Tracy's Irish Bar in New Orleans. Tracy's was shut down yesterday by LaTaxta Cantrell and the city of New Orleans because of what they did a few nights ago during the Saints Monday night football game. They had people at the bar, although they were doing, the owners of Tracy's say that they were doing everything that they were supposed to do when it came to the rules. They didn't have anybody sitting at the bar, although it didn't look like 25% capacity when somebody at Tracy's, somebody who worked there for a reason we'll never know, an ungodly reason, they took their cell phone and they made a video recording.
There you go.
Of people in their establishment watching the Saints game this past Monday night for the Monday night football game, and they released it onto social media.
Try snitching again.
How many people have had their careers end because of what they did on social media, what they posted to social media. How many marriages have come to an end and ended in divorce because of what either the husband or the wife did on social media or posted to social media?
Now, that is a pre-bar concept, a pre-COVID bar concept, where bartenders would show themselves at the bar to get people to come to the place. They would do that prior to COVID, like, hey, come see me at the bar. But right now, that's not, you don't want to do stuff.
Not smart.
Right. It's not the smart move at this moment.
Before coronavirus, bars posting things on social media was good for business. Look what's going on here. Hey, come on down. You can be a part of this great fun that we're all having. And by the way, Tracy's in the Irish Channel neighborhood, right next to the Lower Garden District. It's right over there. Tracy's is like I said, I've always had a good time when I've gone there. They used to be, the people that own that used to own Parasols a block down the street. And then the older owners of Parasols came back and took it over. So Tracy's a few years ago had to find the owners of Parasols, they had to find another place or a place to go because the older owners, the previous owners were coming back, the people that owned the building, whatever the case may be. So the then owners of Parasols said, you know, we need to find a new place to open up. And they found a place a block away, right on Magazine Street, and they called it Tracy's. They had the same delicious roast beef po' boy that they had at Parasols when they were there, one of the best roast beef po' boys in the state, in the area, as far as I can tell. I haven't had every one of them. I've had several of them. And the ones at the old Parasols, which is now Tracy's, and the ones, the roast beef po' boys at Tracy's on Magazine Street, absolutely fantastic. Melts in your mouth. You need lots of napkins to eat the roast beef po' boy at Tracy's and Parasols. But now Tracy's, you need lots of napkins because it takes them a few days to get it going, and they break it down. It's not like a roast beef sandwich you have anywhere else. It's all broken down and into little pieces, and with the gravy and the
side of your mouth.
Oh, the roast beef po' boy at Tracy's is one of the best roast beef po' boys you'll ever have.
What's funny is I've seen concerns about what happened on social media, and they were like, well, the concern is when you get that many people together and they're watching the Saints game, you know, cheering out loud could be a super spreader because you're like, you're yelling and your voice is carrying out. The thing was, another person made the point where if you did watch the Saints game when they were in Las Vegas, there wasn't that much to cheer for. So everybody was pretty much safe. But the point is, like, remember when they had the game opener and you and I went to that super secret location where we had to get fake names and all that?
That's right.
One of the things we made sure to do is not take any pictures or videos to expose what was going on. That's where they made their mistakes.
Yes, it was when we went for week one of the Saints football season this year, the coronavirus season. We had to, like you said, we had to go through a back door. I gave a couple of fake names. It was basically like a speakeasy.
Yeah.
Because the place has been shut down and they're not allowed to have plays. So we were in there having a great time.
And we were social distancing and nobody really was in there.
But we couldn't let anybody know. We couldn't put any pictures on the internet of that place.
Right.
Videos. Why did someone who works for or at Tracy's, why did they take a video on their cell phone and then post it to their social media account? I believe it was their Twitter account. But it had their name, Tracy's, and said, hey, look, we're watching the game.
No.
That's all our mayor had to do the next day. It had to be brought to her attention. Hey, look what was going on at Tracy's in the Irish Channel neighborhood. Look what was going on. There was a full room right there, and they were watching the Saints game. She shut them down. Shut them down.
Keep it off social media, people.
When we're 7 or 8 days away from at least moving from phase two, as our mayor says, we're in phase two from moving from phase two to phase three in the reopening of the economy. And I believe phase three will be 75% occupancy.
And that's the thing about
of the bars and restaurants.
She's waiting on the 2 week numbers, but the numbers that she get isn't going to be the direct numbers from that time period when they open up. How fast do the numbers show up?
It takes a couple of weeks once the kids went into school, once mm-hmm. the students went into the public schools here in Orleans Parish. It takes a couple of weeks to take a look at those numbers to see if they're rising again or if they're not. And that's what she's waiting for.
But it takes
and we're
weeks.
7 or 8 days away from that happening.
No. What I'm saying is if the kids just went to school 2 weeks ago, the numbers that they're getting are just going to be from the first day of school if it takes 2 weeks for the numbers to show up, right? Because when you go, like, if they've been in school for 2 weeks. Need the numbers 2 weeks from the 2 weeks where they went in.
Takes a couple of weeks. They went into school last week, and so next week it'll be a couple of weeks to see the numbers.
Okay.
That's what she's waiting for. But she shut down. She shut down someone's business yesterday because she didn't like what she saw on the video. Why in God's name did anyone from Tracy's take a video of that and post it onto their social media? Why? Who told anybody who's working at Tracy's to do that? If they didn't do that, they'd still be open today. I'd still be able to go over there and get one of the most delicious roast beef po' boys, not only in the city, but anywhere. I've always said it, Tracy's po' boys, Parasols, and Parkway, they were the best roast beef po' boys I've ever had here in New Orleans. God, I love Parkway too.
Yes, you do.
But now that bar that has a lot of big screen TVs that are on for sports and you can go watch games, now it's closed. I can't get the po' boy. You can't get the po' boy. Can't go in there and have a cold pop. Need to get me a cold pop. Can't go in there and drink beer and watch one of the many sports games. Now that football season is back. One of the many games that are on there on one of the many big screens in the place. I love that place. But I can't go there now because LaTaxta shut it down yesterday.
Well, the Swan Room's in Jefferson Parish if you want to.
Have to go back over there.
Yeah.
Text us if you want. This is wrong, isn't it? Isn't it time to open everything up? And if people, the three biggest demographics of people who are in trouble when it comes to coronavirus, because over 99% of people who get coronavirus recover from it. But if you're elderly, if you're old, if you're already sick, your immune system is already weak, or if you're obese, you have to watch out. Those are the groups of people that coronavirus kills, and it's time to open things up again. And those groups of people, they just have to be careful. They have to be careful anyways, those three groups of people, when there's no pandemic going around. This is wrong, her shutting down Tracy's and taking money out of businesses' pockets, hurting businesses like this, the bar owners, all the bartenders, the waiters, the waitresses. It's awful. They shouldn't have been shut down, should they? But why in God's name did they release a video of their crowded bar on social media? Why did they do that? Text us if you want, 504-260-9595. Keep your text short and sweet. If it's good, we will read it on the show coming up. And please don't text while you're driving. That's all she had to do, LaTaxta, is see that bar having a good time, see people in there. I'm shutting it down because we in phase two. We in phase two. Not in phase three yet. We're in phase two. According to her, I'm quoting her. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. We were just talking about how New Orleans Mayor LaTaxta Cantrell shut down Tracy's in the Irish Channel. I love Tracy's Bar. I've always had a very good time when I went there. And their roast beef po' boy, I would put it right up there with the Parkway. Roast beef po' boy. I mean, I haven't had every roast beef po' boy in town, but I'm upset that LaTaxta shut down Tracy's, and when all the bars in Jefferson Parish were able to reopen as of yesterday, that's good news in Jefferson Parish. More bad news here in Orleans Parish, in New Orleans. And I asked you to text us if you thought it was a bunch of crap that LaTaxta shut down Tracy's. And the Irish Channel.
This text says, John, you should try the roast beef po' boys from Shortstop Po' Boys in Metairie. They have outstanding and one of the best.
You know, I've heard that about them. Again, I haven't had every roast beef po' boy in New Orleans, but I was upset that our mayor shut down Tracy's bar because I love their roast beef po' boy.
This text says, Teddy's Grill on Franklin Boulevard across from Melody's boy's home was unbeatable. Whole loaf roast beef wrapped in butcher paper, going to watch Popeye's offshore boat race. It's a blast from the past. Love your show and your hair looks pretty. Tommy.
Geez, thanks, Tommy. Well, I'm sure you're all upset that the mayor shut down Tracy's as well. We could have a roast beef po' boy discussion some other time. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Good morning. It's John Osterlund here with you. So you know out in the Pacific Northwest in Portland, Oregon, there's been protests and riots going on every night now for a few months. Before that, it was just north of there up in Seattle, Washington, where they were having protests slash riots going on. And this stuff is going on because there are some people that aren't happy with, in the wake of the whole George Floyd killing up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And so now out there, you've been seeing some unrest. I just read where in the city of Seattle, Coleman, they just hired a former pimp and they're paying him $150,000 a year. The city of Seattle is. So that means the taxpayers of Seattle, Washington, they're paying a former pimp $150,000 a year to be a street czar, a quote-unquote street czar, in the wake of the rioting up there.
What is the responsibilities of a street czar?
The city of Seattle is paying an ex-pimp $150,000 a year to act as the city's street czar and offer, here's your answer to that question you just asked.
Okay.
Offer alternatives to policing after protests morphed into the no police allowed chop zone up there. That's the Capitol Hill occupied protest area.
I would love to hear some of these pimps' ideas to how to combat a criminal situation, but not use traditional policing.
Well, they're paying him $150,000 a year, taxpayer money. The city of Seattle is. Activist Andre Taylor is open about his past as a pimp. He appeared in the documentary American Pimp. Imagine that. And now he's getting paid $150,000 a year to be their street czar up there. This guy was a pimp.
Wayne Brady going to have to choke a bitch?
He used and he trafficked women for years. But the people in the government and the city of Seattle, Washington, okay, that was his past. He's moved on from that. And they're paying him $150,000 a year.
So how is he going to stop crime? Just go upside his head with a nice little pimp slap?
He's working with the city of Seattle through his nonprofit organization called Not This Time. He says he started Not This Time after his brother was killed by Seattle police 3 years ago. So he's decided, you know what, I'm gonna stop being a pimp. I'm going to stop trafficking women and using women, and I'm going to
pimp the city of Seattle.
No.
And get them out their money. That's what's going on here.
He was a critic of the chop zone in Seattle. You remember the chop zone, the Capitol Hill occupied protest. Mm-hmm. That's where they burned down a police station. And that's when they said, we're taking over this part of downtown Seattle and there are going to be no police officers allowed here. But then the problem was there was a lot of robberies and people started getting shot. And so they had to end the chop zone.
How much is he getting paid again?
$150,000 a year.
See, when I think about that, and how there's a guy on YouTube that gets paid millions of dollars for playing with toys. And all these made-up jobs. You got a street czar. That's a made-up job.
Well,
a YouTube toy reviewer. Then you got Instagram and TikTok dancers who are making all this money. It's like, maybe I missed my calling. Maybe I should make up a job and get paid some kind of money for a job that I completely made up out the back of my behind.
Slow down. The person you were talking about on YouTube, mm-hmm. who makes millions of dollars reviewing toys, That's a child. I think is either 6 or 7 years old. The parents of that child set up that YouTube channel, and that 6 or 7 year old makes millions of dollars. And by the way,
but that's a made up job too. They just made that in a job.
But slow down. The difference between the 6 year old making millions of dollars on YouTube, that's a private sector company.
That's true.
There are people decide to send that 6 year old money. This person in Seattle, the ex pimp, that is now their street czar. That's a government job. That person gets paid by the taxpayers of Seattle, Washington.
A street czar. 2020.
A former pimp. And he's making big time money. Andre Taylor is his name. He's an activist. Again, he was in the documentary American Pimp. He used to be a pimp. He used to control women sexually that way. And he trafficked women that way. But then he wanted to turn his life around because he wasn't happy with what he saw with the chop zone there. And he said, you know what? I'm going to stop being a pimp. And I'm going to do something about these losers who started this chop zone. So even though the taxpayers in Seattle are paying him, I agree with what he's doing.
Well, let's see how it all turns out. This alternative means. Let me talk to you, player. Let me tell you about these drugs and how they bad. Look, I used to be in the streets too, you heard me? You need to chill out with all that little youngster. See, I used to be like you back in the day, but I didn't change my life around. If I could change my life around, you can too.
Well, Coleman, it's something. And again, it's completely different. The six-year-old now, I believe that the baby started making millions a year when the baby was 2 and 3 years old and the parents set up the YouTube channel for that baby. I think the baby's like 5 or 6 now.
Yeah.
So that baby's been making big money for the last few years. But again, that's a private sector company between the baby and his parents who set up a YouTube channel, and there are people that donate money out of their own pocket. Nobody's holding a gun to their head to that child. The pimp, the former pimp here, again, it's a tax-funded
A tax-funded
job.
Pimp. All right.
Isn't that something? The Pacific Northwest. The Pacific Northwest is something else. You know, you got to see, and you know what else happens in Seattle. There are people that make $150,000 a year for cleaning up homeless people and drug addicts poop in the street because you're allowed to.
That's San Francisco.
That's San Francisco, but that's close to the Pacific Northwest. Yeah. So you got in San Francisco, it's legal for people to drop deuces, to poop in the street. And then there are people that get paid $150,000 around there. That starts at $85,000 a year. That's good money.
Yeah, let's
to clean up people's poop because and their syringes that are their needles that are laying on the street because it's legal for people to poop on the street and it's legal for drug addicts to boot up heroin on the street.
Yeah, let's get on the Oregon Trail and move out west. See if we come up on a payday with a made up job.
Well, that job's not made up. Sure, the taxpayers of San Francisco pay the $85,000 where it starts to clean up people's poop.
Street czar and a street sweeper czar.
So now you got that, and now you've got the former pimp who's making $150,000 a year from the city of Seattle to be a street czar.
All right.
Something else, huh?
2020.
Some jobs, if you can get them. Paid by the taxpayers in those instances. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And I was reading this very interesting story about this very attractive female pastor who turned stripper. And she said she's never been happier. Yeah. And she's gorgeous. And I've got the story and her pictures on our website at bayou957.com. Growing up in a strict Baptist family, Nicole Mitchell was expected to be quiet, reserved, and sweet. But her dreams weren't quite so conservative. Quote, from a young age, I had fantasized about being a stripper. She now works as an erotic and exotic dancer on a website. She says, quote, but I was indoctrinated to believe my desires and my body were innately sinful and bad. So instead of pursuing the pole, the mother of three went all in on religion and became a pastor. Even that, however, was rebellious in her family's eyes. Quote, I was taught that women aren't allowed to lead and that women belong in the kitchen and with the children, said the now 36-year-old Nicole Mitchell. So even though it went against everything I was told, I decided to become a pastor because of my love for performing.
Not because of the love of God, because of the love of performing. That's what she said.
Yeah, Coleman, back in 2011, she, along with her now ex-husband, joined the Woodland Hills Church. That's an evangelist megachurch up in St. Paul, Minnesota, which opened her eyes to the possibility of gender equality within the faith. It blew my mind, she recalled. Her first visit to the Holy House. Every Sunday, Ms. Mitchell was the first in line to ask the pastor a question about the sermon. Quote, one of my pastors said, Nicole, did you realize that you're a theologian? And they said, we'd like you to be one of our pastors, she recalled. To be on stage in front of thousands of people, that's what I had been dreaming of doing for years. And so she became one of those pastors, so she could, a female pastor, and then she got on stage in front of all those people, and she was leading a whole bunch of people.
A multitude. Well, she was actually performing. That was her dream. It wasn't to spread the word or the gospel or the theologize or whatever it's called. She just wanted to perform. It didn't matter what capacity
she right.
was in. She could have been a singer, a dancer, or the pastor was the only outlet to get on somebody's stage. That's all she really wanted was to perform. That's her dream.
This is a story about a woman finding herself, Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
So then after she did that, she one day attended an LGBT-oriented theater performance in 2016. She said, quote, I was like, oh, my gosh, I don't think I'm straight. And it rocked my world. So after going to this one LGBT meeting, this very attractive female pastor then realized she was bisexual and pansexual. You know what pansexual is, right, Coleman?
Yeah, they'll do sex with anybody.
Yeah, they'll do sex with anybody. It has nothing to do with pots and pans. They realized if they see an attractive person, doesn't matter what gender they are, they'll do sex with them. And this woman is so attractive, it got me reading more and more into her story. She said, quote, I knew if I revealed my queerness, I would lose it all because the church is not welcoming to queer people, she said. So then she realized she was living a lie, or at least a very double life. She was struggling to keep her sexuality a secret. So after giving her first widely attended weekend sermon on the July 4th weekend a few years back, she left the church for good. I just never showed up again as a pastor. She then decided to be to become a stripper. You talk about learning about yourself.
Oh yeah.
One day she's a pastor, married with three kids. The next day, she's a stripper. And a bisexual stripper. It's the story of the pastor who turned bisexual stripper. She says, quote, my sexuality is sacred, and she's never been happier, Coleman.
It's all about happiness at the end of the day.
Shouldn't we all be learning in life, even as we mature and get older? I'm middle-aged now, but I'm still learning things.
Mm-hmm. Well, remember we was talking about that other woman a few days back, maybe it was last week, about how she lived the perfect life, but she wasn't happy.
That's right.
But then she found happiness with some guy in jail.
She was helping out at a prison.
Mm-hmm.
She did everything right her entire life. And she did one of those things was to take animals, dogs who were going to be euthanized, mm-hmm. rescue them, and then take them into her local prison. And then she hooked up the prisoners with some of these animals.
Right, but then she hooked up with one of the prisoners.
One of the prisoners she hooked up with, she ended up helping sneak out of prison on one of the animal carts.
Right. And then another story, we were talking about the difference between how life was in the 1950s to how it is in 2020. Sure, moral-wise, you can see why people in the 1950s, they lived a certain type of leave the beaver type life, where they put the apple pie on the windowsill and everybody dressed up. Hi, how are you doing, Cheryl? I'm doing fine, Jackie. But, you know, it was a repressed lifestyle. Even though it seemed happy on the outside in the image, inside people were very repressed. And now, you know, they look at 2020 like, oh, we're really immoral. But people are happier now because of all the freedoms that they can live their life like they want to. They don't fear being judged or having a divorce and all that.
We did that story last week on the show because life seemed so much better and happier in the 1950s America mm-hmm. compared to the 2020s America. But you, like you just said, but there was so much. There was segregation. There was suppression. It seemed happier, but I don't know if it really was.
Yeah, I'm quite sure people are much happier shopping in their pajamas at Walmart than they would have to dress up in a three-piece suit to go shop at the grocery.
You would never see that in 1950s America. Go look at the videos of Canal Street in 1950 here in New Orleans. Look at the way people dressed when they went out. Men wore suits and ties. Women wore long gloves and gowns, and it was so much of a different time. But as you said, people were much more suppressed. They may have seemed nicer and happier, but boy.
So I'm happy for this stripper.
Now you go to Walmart, yeah. People are wearing their pajamas, and they're barely wearing things under them.
Great movie. Have you ever seen Pleasantville with Tobey Maguire?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a movie sort of like this whole aspect that we're talking about, how there was this community. They all seemed to live the perfect life. They were church-going, well-dressed, well-kept, demeanor, you know, very good posture. But they weren't happy because that wasn't with their id, their animal instincts. They wanted to just live, you know. They wanted to live freely without being judged or being, you know, scorned for their lifestyle.
Well, I thought we do a lot of interesting stories on this show, and I thought this story of the pastor turned stripper, who's also bisexual, and she's also very, very attractive. I thought it was an inspirational story. It was a story of how people, it doesn't matter how old you are, you could still learn about yourself. And if you want to see this story, read it for yourself and see the accompanying very attractive pictures of the very attractive pastor turned stripper. It's on our website right now. And then we also put it on our radio station's Facebook page. But go check it out for yourself at Bayou957.com. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. My favorite part of that song is when the singer Vince from Neil goes, my God! Kickstart my heart. Oh, yeah, kickstart my heart. My God! I just read where entomologists say bedbugs have existed since the time of dinosaurs. How could that be? There were no beds when dinosaurs were around. It's like the chicken or the egg. What came first? Now the bed bug or the bed? Come on, stop. You know, I used to respect entomologists a lot. I used to think that they were a lot smarter than me, but even I know that. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. I've never seen a headline like this before. Man dies after eating 1.5 bags of black licorice daily.
Okay. That's how he died? Because of the black licorice?
Yeah. That's what it said on the when he got his autopsy. Eating too much black licorice killed him. Listen to this. eating as little as 2 ounces of black licorice a day for 2 weeks could cause a heart rhythm problem, especially if you're over 40 years old. Coleman, are you, first and foremost, do you like candy?
Yeah, certain candies. I'm not a sweets guy, but...
I am. I love candy, and that's probably one of the reasons why I got type 2 diabetes a few years ago. Now I got to watch my sugar. But I absolutely love candy. I love licorice. Coleman, do you like licorice?
Mm-mm.
So you don't like licorice at all?
I don't like the black jelly beans. I don't like the black Twizzlers.
What about the red Twizzler?
Red Twizzler.
So you like... Slow down here. Now, this is interesting, because you're a black guy.
Okay.
So you like the red licorice, but you don't like the black licorice.
Right. The black licorice tastes like licorice, and I don't like that. The red licorice tastes like strawberries or something.
Mm. See, I like them all. A Massachusetts construction worker's love of black licorice wound up costing him his life. Eating a bag and a half every day for a few weeks threw his nutrients all out of whack and caused this 54-year-old man, again, a construction worker from Massachusetts, it caused his heart to stop, doctors reported yesterday. This guy had a licorice habit, and a black licorice habit. And he ate 1.5 bags of black licorice every day, and that ended up killing him.
Let me ask you this, John. Would you rather live to 70, 80, or 90 years old, but you had to give up what you love? Or would you rather die young enjoying your life? Like, if they told you, look, in order for you to live, you have to stop eating the one thing you love the most. Would you do it, or would you say, well, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die happy and just indulge in what I like and die on my own terms? If you had to choose.
It's a great question, Coleman. And as someone who got type 2 diabetes 5 years ago, I'm dealing with that every day.
Oh, so you're right.
Every day I am dealing with that every day.
So you've chosen life. That's what you have. You want to live, so you stop enjoying the things you usually enjoy so you can live a little bit longer.
I'm watching my diet.
Yeah, well, that's good.
But this guy... Evidently, I guess that his family and his friends told doctors when his heart freaked out, they asked, the doctors asked his family and his friends, and they were all like, this guy's always eating black licorice. And then they figured out he eats about a bag and a half of black licorice a day. Now, I wonder if the red licorice would have done this to him. Probably not. Maybe it would have.
Why? Because the dye is different, maybe, the chemical dye? Because it's pretty much the same ingredients, just a different flavor.
It's more than licorice sticks when you're eating licorice. It could be black jelly beans. It could be any type of thing like that. You got to really, really watch, especially the older you get. You really have to watch what you eat. And then I see this, Coleman. Burger King wants more people not only downloading their app, but they want people to be ordering food off of the Burger King app on their phones. So they're selling, listen to this feast that they're now selling you for just $2. But you got to get it through the app. You can't just walk up or go through the drive-thru. You got to get it through the app. Burger King is serving up a feast for $2. It's called the Snack Box. Here's what you can get for $2 now at Burger King. 10 chicken nuggets. Medium fries, a cheeseburger, and a small soft drink, all for $2. That's the Snack Box.
Only through the app, though.
Only through the app, because they want people to download their app. They want people to order through their app. How could they make money off of that? 10 chicken nuggets, a cheeseburger, a medium fries, and a small soft drink is currently being offered up for only $2. But you gotta get it through the app.
You know how they make money off that. It's the classic drug dealer's tactic. You give them something for free, just to give them a little sample of what you got. You got the goods. Here, I'll give you this for $5 or $2. But then once you're hooked on it, then they charge you full price.
That's gotta be the best deal in fast food history that Burger King is now offering up, the Snack Box. Again, 10 chicken nuggets, a cheeseburger, a medium fry, and a small soda, small soft drink, for $2! Two! Like our mayor here in New Orleans, Mayor Cantrell, what phase are we in? Phase two. Two.
So you're having second thoughts about lunch tonight? I know you wanted to do roast beef, but now with this whole Burger King deal for $2, I mean, hey.
I got to download the app. I don't know if I want to do that. I already got too many apps on my phone.
Oh, you don't want Burger King getting your information like China and TikTok?
Yeah. And if you're just joining us, we were talking about how our aforementioned mayor, LaTaxta Cantrell, here in the city of New Orleans, she shut down Tracy's yesterday in the Irish Channel. And it's Tracy's and Parkway, in my opinion, again, I haven't had every roast beef po' boy in the city of New Orleans, but I've eaten them there a lot, and those are my two favorite, whether it's a Tracy's or Parasol's, which Tracy's used to be. They mm-hmm. moved up the street. Or Parkway in Mid-City. Those are my two favorite roast beef po' boys. And then when I mentioned that this morning, a couple people started texting, oh, you got to try this roast beef po' boy. Try this. Now that's what I wanted for lunch today, but then I started reading this. All of this deliciousness for just $2. Who says life is rough right now? This is some great stuff here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterland Morning Show. And there are a bunch of people who are worried about Saints quarterback Drew Brees because after 2 weeks, Drew Brees has the lowest throwing the ball downfield percentage in the history of the NFL. In the first 2 weeks, Drew Brees is only averaging, his passes are only averaging not even 5 yards down the field. They're saying, well, because he's old now, he's a year older than last year, he's 40,
mm-hmm.
that he's only averaging 4.9 yards per pass downfield. That's the lowest in the history of the NFL after 2 weeks out of any quarterback since they've started keeping track of that particular statistic. They asked him about it yesterday. He said not only does he feel good, he feels great, and he feels as good or if not better than he's ever felt in his NFL career, but he's not throwing the ball deep downfield. Every one of his passes, just a little dinking here and dunking here, dinking and dunking, dinking and dunking, dink dunk. He's only throwing the ball. Again, he's averaging 4.9 yards per pass downfield, and that's the shortest amount of yards downfield in the history of the NFL for any quarterback after 2 weeks.
Yeah, feeling good and doing good is two different things. You can feel great, but we need to see that greatness on the field.
They got a tough game Sunday night. They're prime time again. They're hosting the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers. And if you haven't gotten in, who are you picking? Who do you like this week? Do you like the Saints or do you like the Green Bay Packers? If the Saints played this week like they played last week against the Las Vegas Raiders, they're going to lose. There's no way they're going to beat Green Bay if they play this week like they played last week against the Raiders.
It's amazing how a 2 weeks difference makes. I mean, I remember when we decided before the game, maybe before the Tampa Bay game, and you were saying, hey, New Orleans looks like a Super Bowl contender.
Yes, they are.
And now, 2 weeks later, do you still feel like they're a super big game contender?
The first 2 weeks of the season, Coleman, if you look at the way the Saints played in week one and in week two, they do not look like a Super Bowl contender. They don't even look close to a Super Bowl contender. Because one of the things that killed them in the Raiders game was penalties.
Yep.
And over 130 yards of penalties. They had almost that amount of penalties in the first week at home against Tampa, but they were able to overcome that, and they got away with that, and they beat Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks. They were not able to get away with that last week in Las Vegas. And we're talking about this because week three of the NFL season starts tonight, Thursday night. The Thursday night game always kicks off the new week of the NFL season. And tonight's game, two teams that aren't very good, the Miami Dolphins play at the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we have our King of the Bayou football challenge picking the games going on. And we start week three tonight. If you haven't gotten involved in that yet, if you haven't registered, you should go to our website, click on the picture of me dressed as Elvis, and you should sign up for our King of the Bayou football challenge. Even if you're boycotting, look, you could sign up and win great prizes and still not watch the games. You could boycott the games.
So right now you're in a lead as far as the Bayou crew goes.
When it comes to the Bayou crew, I am leading by one pick.
Now, but this week in week three, it seems like you took a lot of risky picks. What's your thought process about some of these games that you went against the majority of the picks, like the lower percentage ones? Like, do you know something I don't? Because I think we disagree on six games this week.
Well, let's start with tonight. And again, you should get involved in this if you're listening and you want to win great prizes. Every week, we have a $50 gift card from Winn-Dixie. Win $50 worth of groceries every week. That's if you pick the most winners. Our winner in week one was from Hammond.
It was from him. You're right.
The guy from Hammond in week one. This past week, our winner got them all. Got 16 out of 16. That's tough to beat. And he's from the West Bank. He's from Westwego.
Yeah, 16 out of 16 last week. Glenn from Westwego.
So you could be next on this list to win the $50 grocery card from Winn-Dixie. Just go to our website, bayou957.com. Click on the picture of me dressed as Elvis. It's our King of the Bayou, the King. And you could be a female, too. You could be the Queen of the Bayou. We don't want to make this gender specific. Just go and register. It's free. It doesn't cost nothing. It only takes a minute. And then just pick the games. And after that, the computer does all the work. Tonight, I've got Jacksonville.
Yeah, we both have Jacksonville, I'm looking at.
And so does 86% of the people voting in our pool. See, the computer does all the work. I'll tell you, Jacksonville has a young stud at quarterback. He's a kid from Mississippi. His name is Gardner Minshew II, and he's real. He's for real.
The stash, the mustache.
Yeah, a lot of people said Jacksonville got rid of all their great players, including Leonard Fournette and a bunch of great players on defense, because they were going to tank this year so they could be the number one overall draft pick and get the quarterback, the long-haired quarterback coming out of Clemson, Lawrence. But with the quarterback Jacksonville has, and he's only in his second year, he's looking around saying, we're not tanking. We're not tanking for this quarterback. I'm the quarterback of Jacksonville. I think he's the real deal, and I think they're going to beat Miami tonight. But I'm looking down at the picks. You and I differ. I picked Atlanta on Sunday over the Chicago Bears.
After what happened with them in Dallas, I don't have faith in Atlanta at the moment, so that's why I went with Chicago.
I think Atlanta's going to win. That's one of the tough picks. I think
even after what they did, after that lead that they blew in the last game, you think Atlanta still has a chance against Chicago?
Yeah, I think Atlanta's going to beat Chicago. I think they'll overcome that this week. I think the toughest game on the schedule is the Los Angeles Rams playing at the Buffalo Bills. 58% of the people who have picked so far in our King of the Bayou challenge, they've picked Buffalo. I'm going with the Rams. Who'd you pick?
I went with the Rams, yeah.
Oh, so we agreed on that one.
Yeah, but 58%, that's almost close. Most of them, they're like 80%, 75%, 76%.
Yeah, the one where I really went against everybody this week, 74% of the people in the King of the Bayou football picking contest picked Tennessee over Minnesota. I'm part of the 26%. I'm going with Minnesota. I think they have to wake up at some time this year.
How's Cat doing?
Right now, when it comes to all the Bayou contestants, Cat is last.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I'm first. Cat is last. Cat said if she doesn't do better this week, she may quit.
Don't be a spoiler. It's only week three.
She may drop out and throw all of her support behind me. Thank you, Cat. I appreciate that.
She hasn't even picked. You have till 7 o'clock tonight, Cat, to pick your teams. Come on now. Don't be a spoiler, sport.
So when it comes to the Bayou crew, I'm in first, but only by one pick, only over Stoney and you, Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ginty.
Yeah, Ginty and I are tied.
And then comes Joshua, the traffic guy you hear here on the show. And you hear him, if you listen to Bayou on the weekends, he's one of our weekend jocks, old Josh. And then rounding out the bottom is the big boss, Kevin. He's not only the big boss of this station, he's the boss of all of the stations that are owned by the same company here in New Orleans. And so he's got to be smart. He's just got off to a bad start.
Now, beyond the Bayou crew, Elizabeth, Tony, K-Pat, Roll Tide, Cash Money, they're all beating us at 26 and 27 as far as their scores go.
Yeah, so it's still pretty close, and it's still, again, only 2 weeks in. You've got plenty of time to get in and win the big prize at the end of the year. This goes all the way through the playoffs and the big game at the end of the year. And we give away that awesome 65-inch smart television. We also give away the Cam Jordan autographed Saints jersey. So there's still time. There's plenty of time, even if you haven't gotten in yet, because it's such a long season, and including playoffs. You got time to win the big prizes. But get in, and you could win the weekly prizes. The $50 of groceries every week from Winn-Dixie. Go sign up now. It only takes a minute. It's free. And then you're in with us on our website at Bayou957.com. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. So Supreme Court Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who died 6 days ago now, her body has been laid out in the United States Supreme Court yesterday, and I believe today as well. And from what I understand, they're going to lay her body in the Capitol, and it's going to be the first woman ever in United States history to have her body laid out in the United States Capitol like that.
Still a trailblazer, even in death.
Yeah, she's, look at that. Isn't that something? So again, we talked about her on our show on Monday. Doesn't matter how you felt about her, but her decisions and politically, whatever the case may be. But lots of people have been showing up to go see her body. As a matter of fact, this one woman was in the car on her way to go see the body, and we just happened to grab this video.
I'm in your car, but I just got a notification that Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. Could this year get any worse? Ruth, you just had to make it to 2021.
The sadness is something else, isn't it? Coming up next, you're not going to believe what this guy did to get a ride home on the dumbest thing I read all morning. That's next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's John Osterlin here with you. And it's about that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Florida man who needed a ride home called 911 telling them he found a dead body that wasn't really there.
Say what?
This is an incredible story, Coleman. Out of Winter Haven, Florida, a 46-year-old Florida man, Jermaine Williams.
You idiot!
Was arrested a few days ago after calling 911 to report a dead body, hoping police would give him a ride home.
Oh, no.
Winter Haven, Florida police say the Florida man called 911 reporting there was a dead body at a local McDonald's.
911, what's your emergency?
There's a dead body at a local McDonald's. Officers responded to the fast food place where they found nobody, but they did find Jermaine Williams sitting on a curb. The Florida man told police he called 911 numerous times earlier in the night asking for a ride home. When no one came to pick him up, Williams decided to lie and say he found a dead body in hopes cops would give him a ride home. Well, when he told the cops that, they did give him a ride, but not home. They gave him a ride to the police station.
You know, as an experienced alcoholic, what I've learned that you can do is, if you call a taxi cab company and you're completely smashed and you can't drive, they will send a designated taxi cab driver to you and bring you wherever you need to go. So all he had to do, instead of calling the police, just call a cab service and be like, I'm too drunk to drive, and they'll come pick you up. They have some cab services off of that.
Well, I don't think this Florida man knew that.
Clearly. Clearly. He's from Florida. I mean, what do you expect?
He's a Florida man. So he was arrested. They took him to Polk County Jail, where he was charged with misuse of 911. That's an actual crime, misuse of 911. You're misusing 911.
I wonder how lonely this guy's life is. He couldn't find the ride from a family member, a cousin, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, maybe somebody at McDonald's that was getting off on this shift. He had no other options but to call the police to give him a ride home.
Well, I wonder if he's mentally ill. You would think anybody who would do something like this has to be partially mentally ill. You know, when we used to, and we've talked about this recently on the show, we used to talk about crazy people, like, they're nuts. Look at the guy. He's crazy. He's nuts. You can't really say that anymore because mental illness is a severe problem. And most people deal with mental illness. If it's not their own, it's a family member or a friend. I think we all know someone that's mentally ill.
I would agree with you to that point, except this happened in Florida. It's kind of hard to decipher who in Florida, based on all of their actions of the entire state, who is actually legitimately mentally ill and who's just a Florida man doing Florida stuff.
Think about this. This guy several times called 911 asking for a ride home. They hung up on him several times.
Okay.
So then what's his next move? Okay. I'll call 911 again, but this time I'll tell them that there's a dead body here at this McDonald's that's behind me. And then when they show up, they can give me a ride home.
Yeah,
you have to be partially mentally ill for that thought to go through your head.
Okay, so that guy who was trying to sell egg rolls to 911, he kept calling. You think he was partially mentally ill too, or he was just trying to sell some egg rolls?
That's a good question. We did that a couple weeks ago on the dumbest thing I read all morning. But when people are mentally ill, I mean, should they be arrested like this? I mean, so you arrested the guy and you charged him with misuse of 911, but if he's mentally ill, and you would have to be mentally ill to do what he did. I'm going to call 911 because I need a ride home. And I'm going to make up a story that there's a dead body at this McDonald's here, so the cop will show up, and then I'll just say, hey, when you're heading out, can you just give me a ride home, drop me off at my place?
No, he got to go. Because even if he is mentally ill, there's no harm for letting him sit in prison for what he done. He could still suffer the consequences of his actions. We shouldn't let him go off scot-free, even if he was mentally ill. He has sense enough to call 911. He has sense enough to have a cell phone. He has sense enough to know where McDonald's was at. He has sense enough to make up a lie. So he has enough sense to understand the consequences of his actions, even though it may be a mentally ill action.
I miss the days when we could call people crazy and nuts. Like, we all had a crazy cousin or a crazy uncle. Now you can't say that anymore. Oh, I got that. I've got the mentally ill cousin. Oh, I've got my uncle who has mental illness. Anyways, the Florida man who needed a ride home, so he called 911 to tell police there was a dead body at the McDonald's he was at. It's the dumbest thing that I read all morning. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.